I followed you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking in this guy. Praise the holy name. I thank you, Lord, for all the things he's done for me in life. And was not for God, I would not be here. And I want to look tonight at a couple of scriptures. We're in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and it's the big, they say, the big chapter, and other things. I want to look in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. I'm going to look in Matthew, probably 27 and 52. And I'm going to probably look at Hebrews chapter 11. And what I want to add, oh yeah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And am I missing something, Simon?
Sure, fine.
She's going to turn on so she can put some writing on the screen for us.
Scriptures on the screen.
There are many reasons why people come to God, and there are many. It doesn't matter why someone comes to God, because to God it doesn't matter as long as you come to Him. And someone says, well, yeah, it does matter why you come. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
As long as you come.
Yes.
And then, but God's intent for you is the same.
Yes.
For whatever reason you come to God, we always come because of some issue in the earth, whether it be, you know, sins or sin or yes. We're broke with this or whatever. But it doesn't matter to God why you come. His intent for you is the same, and that is to fix what you came for.
Yes.
And then the greater thing is to fix you.
You. Amen.
Because when Romans says that all of us are come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not even talking about what you do in life or where it isn't referring to something you have done. What it's referring to is how you were born.
Yes.
The fact that we were born in sin. And so whenever we come to God, we always have at least one thing that needs to be fixed, and that is we need to be set free from sin.
Right, amen.
But the truth is we need to have many, many, many things worked out, but the main one, the main two things that we need to have God work out, one of them is we need our sins or the things that we have done forgiven.
Forgiven, yes.
We need the Lord to do that. And if I say two, I guess I'll have to say three. Then once He forgives us of our sins, He needs to purge our conscience so that we no longer feel guilty about it.
Yes, amen.
Otherwise, even though God has forgiven you of sins, you'll still go through the condemnation, and some people can never get past some things. And then the other thing, which is the really big thing He needs to do, is the big fix is He needs to set us free from the power and spirit of sin.
Yes.
That's what we were born in. If He doesn't set us free from the power of sin and the spirit of sin, then I just like the example I always use. That's like washing a pig who's laying in the mud. As fast as you wash one side, he just rolls over and gets the other one. You got to get him out of the mud first.
Yes.
So the Lord has to do that. But ultimately, what God wants to do is not only set us free from sin and forgive our sins, He has a reason and a purpose for that. And His reason for that is so that He can give us everlasting life.
Amen.
So that He can give us eternal life. So that He can give us immortality.
Immortality,
people always
yes.
talk about, wish I could live forever. You can.
Yes.
And whether you know it or not, whether you be saved or sinner, you're going to live forever anyway. Because it's a matter of whether you live with God or without God. It's a matter of whether you live in heaven with God or live in hell without God.
Yes.
Because you're going to live forever. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said that when you know that in Him, some were going to live forever, everlasting life, God, and others were everlasting life and damnation. And so you want to live forever regardless. It's a choice of which one you want to do.
Yeah.
Being separate from God is death.
Yes.
So we're going to do that regardless. But tonight, I'm not faulting anyone for why they come to God.
Yes.
Maybe you came to God because you were going through a difficult time in your life. Most of us came for that reason. And we didn't have any other way out. And someone preached to us and told us God was a way out, which is true.
Yes.
And not only is it true that they told us he's a way out, for most of us, he has made a way out.
Right. Yes.
And it could have been a financial need. It could have been a need in relationships. It could have been a health issue, or all of the above.
Yes.
Because God is able to do all of them. He's able to work all those things out. And those are the promises that God makes. God makes God has made so many promises. He said that he would heal us, that he would deliver us,
yes.
set us free. He promised in one place when Peter said, "Lord, we've forsaken all." He said, "You'll have in this lifetime houses and land,
yes.
and mothers
yes.
and fathers and sisters and brothers, and
yes.
all the things you think you would lose." He says you would have them 100-fold and eternal life. And the promises of God are true. If you come
Amen.
To the Lord because you need things worked out, God will work them out.
Yes, he will.
But the real thing that God needs to work out for us is eternal life, because the things that he works out in life, they are all temporary.
Yes.
Because in this mortal body, life is temporary.
Yes.
So we have to know why it is that Abraham and Moses, all of them, why they were so insistent upon holding on to God, why they, no matter what would happen, they wouldn't serve another God.
Yeah.
And when you read in Hebrews 11 chapter, it goes on at the bottom and talks about some of them being sown asunder. They were thrown in lions' dens, and different things happened to them, and why they held on to God. It sure wasn't for a house and a car.
No.
I don't blame people. It is right to tell someone if they need a house that God will provide. It's the right thing to do because
yes.
he will.
Yes.
It is right to preach to people and say to them, if you need a job, if you'll come to God, God will work things out.
Yes.
It's right to preach that God will fix your marriage.
Yes.
It is true. God will fix your marriage.
Yes.
If you will let him fix you.
Yes.
Since the marriage is you.
You, yes.
It's, you know, and out of all the things that God fixes in the earth, marriage is the most direct reflection of God fixing you.
Yes.
Since, you know, you can get a new car, you can get a new house, and somebody says, well, I can get a new wife too, but still the same on you. But if you want God to fix the relationship you're in, a relationship is the people itself. It's not the... It won't make my marriage work because I get a new TV, and it won't make my marriage work because I get a new house. It won't even make your marriage work because you get a new job.
Yes.
And some people think that it will. Maybe this will strengthen our relationship. It will not.
No.
Matter of fact, if anything, if you have a bad relationship, it will probably cause more friction.
Yes.
The only thing that fixes a relationship is when God is able to fix the people. And if you're not willing for God to fix you, then God can't fix your relationship, because relationship is you.
Amen.
So, what about the other person? Well, okay, we'll throw that person in too. He has to fix the both of you.
Yes.
So that you can come to this one great big word where you're able to be together, and that's called compromise.
Yes.
But bottom line is, no matter what you come to God for, God never just fixes a problem and doesn't attempt to fix the person, because ultimately the person is who God wants, and the person is who the promise is for. It's not for my house or my car. Eternal life is for me, and it is the person that Christ came and shed his precious blood for, because my car doesn't sin, it's me. And it is the person that Christ died for, because my car wasn't born in sin, I was.
Yes.
And it's not the car that needs eternal life, it's me.
Yes.
So all the blessings and the things that you get from God, God will fix and God will repair and do all these things. But ultimately, what God wants is us. We are the height of his creation. We are supposed to be with him forever and to reign and rule with him over the universe.
Yes, yes.
So ultimately, whenever you come to God, it is nice for whatever reason you come. And don't ever lose faith. You know, if you have a need, ask God. God will fix it. If you sick, ask God. If you, whatever goes on in your life, ask God.
Yes.
But you're asking the person who has given you everlasting life.
Yes.
And if your house isn't as big as what you wanted, you still need everlasting life.
Yes.
And if your house is 10 times bigger than what you asked for, you still need everlasting life. And when this car, if you live long enough that you wanted and that you come in and you testify that you got, we're so glad for you, and God moved and made a way, and we know it was God when you tell us about it, because there was no other way, and we're happy for you. But it's not going to last forever.
Amen.
And you're going to have to ask God to bless you with that again.
Yes.
But eternal life is forever.
It's forever.
And so in the Hebrews 11 chapter, when it says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. I started talking about this last week. In 11 and 13, the promises, but having seen them afar off, it's referring to eternal life.
Yes.
It's referring to being with God. The promises of eternal life, the promise of a Savior who would come and set them free from sin. The promise of the promise of being forgiven of our sins and being filled with the Holy Spirit, all the promises that the prophets talked about and all the things that God does. In the Old Testament, they died with not having received all of these promises, because all the saints until the time of Jesus weren't allowed to go on into heaven. They went into paradise, and that's a lesson in itself. And in the coming weeks, maybe I need to spend some time talking about that, but not maybe, I do. You need to know that until the time of Christ, from Abel on, all those in Hebrews, in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, it says, if you're there, read with me, for as much then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. And what that states and says is that everyone who came along until the time of Christ because of the fall in the garden, when they died, their soul and their spirit went to paradise, went to a compartment under the earth, a compartment of hell, as we say, paradise.
Yes.
And this is where they were to remain. And David knew this very well. This is why he stated that about Christ, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. In other words, he says, when Christ comes, he's not going to rot in the ground. He's not going to go to the dust. And his soul is not going to be left in paradise. So then in Matthew, I think it's the 27th chapter, in verse 52, and I really am going somewhere with this, so stay with me for a moment. I won't be long. Matthew 27 and 52, I think it is. Yes, Matthew 27 and 52. And the graves were open. This is talking about, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And then after Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, the people in Jerusalem, the holy city in Jerusalem, saw people who had died in Christ before come through the city on their way to heaven in their bodies. They saw the bodies.
Yes.
And I really want the word body to stick out to you tonight, because you need to know when Christ comes back, he's going to change our bodies.
Yes.
And it's not just your soul and your spirit that's going to go to heaven. And when he talks about us going about us dying and going to heaven, he says the soul and the spirit goes to heaven to await the resurrection of the body. But I want you to know tonight that when you go to heaven, you get your body then.
Yes. Yeah.
Your soul and spirit, you get your body when you go to heaven. And someone was asking me about this recently, because it talks about the resurrection and talks about us going to heaven. And someone was saying to me, well, which one is it? Well, you know, when Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at that one too, and in 1 Thessalonians, we shall not go before those who sleep. In other words, he says the first comes to sound the resurrection.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, when I read this and I read 2 Corinthians, the people who go to heaven, they've already got their body.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's one thing I know about this. Someone might say, well, no, I don't think so. I think that whenever I go to heaven, I'm just going to go in soul and spirit, and, you know, I'll go through the resurrection. Well, that's fine. You know, you can say that, but I know what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. In other words, when it refers to this body, the earthly house, and the tabernacle being our spirit. If this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I think it was Job, one of them says, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return, whatever.
Yes.
We have a building of God, a house made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want everybody to know tonight, if you die tonight and you go to heaven, you when you get to heaven, you will have a body.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And someone might say, well, if you want to argue about it, you say, well, they buried this in the this body in the ground. This body goes back to the dust.
Yes.
It's the remains.
Yes.
And he says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. In other words, what we want is our immortal body.
Amen.
I can't think of anybody who's had more blessings from God than I have, and I'm sure people can say they have, but I'm not one to, you know, in my life, if anything, every good thing that ever happened to me in life, it was God.
Yes.
So are you referring to the good things that happened to you since you were saved? No, every good thing that happened to me in my life, it was God.
God, yes.
If it was good, it was God.
God, yes.
There are many things that happened in life that at the moment I'm out of like them. So how do you know what is of God and what is of not? Everything that is of God not only is good, but it also remains good.
Yes.
Some things seemed good at the time.
Yes.
But they didn't remain good.
Right.
When things come from God, they don't just start out good. They remain good.
Yes.
And they serve out the time that they're supposed to do. And every good thing that I've had in my life, and there have been many twists and turns in my life. You know, and I don't have the only one. I might have had different twists and turns from what you had, but you probably had many twists and turns in your life.
Yes.
And the only person who could work all of them out is God. And why do people fail? When people won't come to God, the twists and the turns become too much.
Too much. Yeah.
And they overthrow them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, life kills them. Sometimes they kill themselves.
Yes.
Sometimes they die without ever coming to God. One of the biggest twists you can ever have and the biggest deception that can ever happen in life is to let anything, anybody, including yourself, convince you not to have God.
Amen.
I know of no greater, there is no greater twist than that. That's the reason why in God, when we talk about sins and we want to talk about what the greatest sins are, there is no greater sin than idolatry.
Amen.
No matter where it comes from or what it leads to, idolatry means you don't have the true and living God.
Amen.
It might lead to murder. It might lead to fornication. It doesn't matter where it goes.
Yeah.
That's why the very first commandment that God gave to Moses was, thou shalt love the Lord. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God. Him only shall you serve.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter how I came to be in God, what state I was in when I came to God. God started working that out and fixing those things out with the intent that he would give me everlasting life.
Yes.
Matter of fact, at the very moment he saved me, even though he had to bring me like he does, and this is why we have Bible studies, so you learn about the eternal life that you already have.
Yes.
When God saved me, before he blessed me in my house, blessed me in my family, blessed me in my job, blessed me in all these other places, the very first thing that God gave to me was the one thing that I didn't realize I had, was eternal life.
Amen.
At the time he saved me and forgave me of all my sins, he gave me eternal life immediately.
Yes.
And before he worked out things in my marriage and before he worked out things in my house, if Jesus had come after the night that the Lord saved me, I would have gone back with him.
Yes, yes. Amen.
With still beer in the refrigerator and cigarettes on whatever I had, wherever I had it. When the Lord saved me, the very first thing he did after he forgave me was gave me eternal life.
Yes, amen.
And then it was up to me to be willing to work with God and allow the Holy Spirit to bring me into a person, into the righteousness that Christ had given me, so that I could maintain and sustain. He gave me the Holy Ghost so I would always have this eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
At the time of salvation, I was believing in God enough to ask him to save me. I knew I needed to be saved. It wasn't even a consideration of what things in my life would need to be changed. But there was nothing in my life that God changed that did not need to be changed. There was no change that God made in me that wasn't destructive. And there was nothing that God did in my life that, if God had not have done it, stood to be a hindrance to me having eternal life, which is what God really wanted me to have. All the other things were easy. Jesus didn't have to die for me to have a car, a job, a house, a career. He didn't have to die for me to be married, to fall. He didn't have to die for me to have kids. None of those things that Christ had to die for. But he did have to die and be resurrected so I could have everlasting life.
Amen.
The greatest gift God has given me to this point since the time that he created me.
Yes.
So in Matthew, all the people at that time after Christ is resurrected, because remember, when Jesus Christ is resurrected, he's the first person ever resurrected into an immortal body.
He's the first
fruits of them that slept. In other words, Lazarus has been resurrected. All the way back in the Old Testament, you see people, Elijah and Elisha resurrecting people. Elijah resurrects a boy, does what? But their life comes back to them mortal, and they die again every day.
Yes.
But Christ is the first one to be glorified.
Yes.
He prays in the 17th chapter of John, glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the world was. And he's first one to be glorified. So then someone said one time, I believe when Moses died, I believe that Jesus took him on, God took him on to heaven. Not so. Moses had to go into paradise with everybody else.
Yes.
And all of them in Hebrews 2:14-15, when it says that through fear, they were held in bondage through fear. It's because no matter how well they served God or what they did, they had to go into paradise and couldn't go into God's city. And you had people like Moses who would go up the mountain to meet God, and God would come down to the top of Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. And you had Abraham who would walk with God, and then God would go up, and the Bible says he goes up from them, and they would see God go back to heaven, and they knew that he dwelt in a city. And why did they know? Because God told them. You know, you only have the Bible, and we don't read all of it. And John says, if the books that were written about all the things that Jesus did, he says there wouldn't, if I tried to tell you everything he did, there wouldn't be books enough to write it all down.
Yeah.
And if every conversation that they had with Moses and with God, and to the extent that they had it, my God, you have a hard enough time reading this one book.
Yeah.
Working your way through it.
Yeah.
And it's a very condensed version of God's work with us, and it's designed, and it has enough for us to be saved and to be blessed, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and our sins forgiven, and to have new birth and to have everlasting life. So the prophets, all of them, they spoke to God. God spoke to them. But when they died, other than Ezekiel, Enoch, everybody else went to paradise. And then when you look at Elijah. When you look at Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire, and Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. God took him. And the difference between them, you said, well, you just finished telling me that Jesus is the first one who's resurrected into an immortal body and goes into heaven. But Enoch and Elijah haven't died yet.
Right.
They come back. When you read Revelation, they come back and they're the two witnesses in the end times.
Yeah.
And then they're going to die and lay in the streets for 3.5 days. They're going to be resurrected into their immortal body. Yeah. And they'll make up the last rapture and the first resurrection. But the reason why these bodies came through after Jesus is resurrected, and And I'm glad when Matthew wrote this that he specifically said in there after the resurrection. It says after Jesus was resurrected. He says in here, I've already turned from it. He says that after Jesus was resurrected in 27 and 52, he says they came through the city, and he makes the point of saying after Jesus was resurrected.
Yeah.
And that's very important. And came out of the grave after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Because he's writing it right in the middle of talking about Christ being crucified.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to think that the bodies came out of the graves and walked through the city at the same time as he died and it got dark and the veil of the temple was rent and all those things. They didn't come through the city at that time.
No.
But after he was resurrected,
yes.
Then they saw these people coming through. And they weren't zombified, so they weren't doing, you know, the devil likes to make us not believe in resurrection by teaching you about zombies and vampires and all those things. And they're exciting to the imagination and everything, but you've got to do like I have to do. You're going to have to wean yourself off of those things.
Yeah.
Because they make immortality look bad.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Make it look like it's something. In other words, zombies are the undead.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no such thing as undead. You're either dead or you're not. Dead or alive.
Yes.
So they didn't see people come out of the grave in grave clothes like the mummy and all those. No, they recognized them. They knew there were the saints and those who died in Christ. They didn't state which ones. But when it says they came out of the graves, the point being is that they were in their bodies, and that's where the people felt like they came from. Really, they came from paradise.
Paradise, yes.
And they went back with Christ. Right. And in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, these are some of the people it refers to when it says he led captivity captive. In other words, those who were held captive. And in my mind, some years ago when the Lord first saved me and I first found out about paradise and found out that all the Old Testament saints were held there from Abel, who was the first person who died. I asked Chandra one time when she was about 10 or 11. And I was just pondering Hebrews 11 chapter. And I said, you know, I wonder why Abel's the first one. She said, well, because he's the first one who died. That's it. That's out of the mouth of babes. So, he's the first one who died, first one in paradise.
Paradise, that's right.
It didn't take long, though, before the people started showing up. But at least they were showing up in paradise.
Gosh, yes.
And I got to think in my mind, L. Latham, who's up here? Yeah, L. Russell. I got to think in my mind that every time one of them showed up, they would ask, has he come yet?
Yeah.
Because, Abraham's there when David shows up.
Yes.
And David, and Moses is there when David shows up. And Isaac and Jacob, they're all there, and all the way through Zephaniah and Uzziah and, Zechariah and Zephaniah and Malachi and all of them, they're all there.
And
the last one to show up before Jesus is the repentant thief.
Yes.
This day shall you be with me in
paradise.
He's the last one. And then Jesus comes.
Yes.
My Lord, how happy they must have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the biggest understatement of all time.
Yes.
I can only think of the only people I can think of being more glad to see him than them is us when we see him.
Yes.
And then he took all of them back with him.
Yes.
And since he was the first fruit of them that slept, it makes perfect sense to me, and then the Spirit does, if they are like him when they go back, since I know he went back in a body, surely they did too.
Yeah, amen. Yes.
Absolutely. So he says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. In other words, what I really want is to have my immortal body. And there's a big problem when we allow people to be, when we, as preachers and teachers, we're going to preach about Jesus healing and delivering because Jesus went about healing and delivering in the earth. And then when he healed them, he would say to them, do you believe I'm the Son of God who has eternal life?
Yes.
I'm healing you so that you'll know that I have eternal life, that I'm giving to you not only life, but life abundantly.
Yes.
So when our churches are full and everybody is really joyous and high because they're being blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed, This is a wonderful thing, and they're glorifying God in song, and just really a high praise is going up. But somewhere along the line, as they continue to come and assemble themselves, you have to get them to know what the real reason the Lord saved you is, so you have eternal life.
Amen.
You need to know that you have something that you haven't thought about, because you just needed the Lord to give you a job, and you went back Monday morning, and out of all the people who were applying, because the Lord blessed you, you got the job.
Yes.
And now you need to know, but you also have something else, because I noticed in this list that he tells Peter, he lists all these things that he'll give to Peter in Matthew, and it's in, I think, Matthew 6 and 38 or somewhere around in there. Or maybe that's not the one. No, 6 and 38 is something else. But he says to him, in one of them, he lists all these things that he would give him. And then he says to him at the very last one, and you'll also get eternal life.
Yes.
Because when I need God to bless me, and I'm sick, my joy, first of all, is for the healing. And if I need the Lord to bless me because something, you know, I'm out of money and they're going to come to turn my lights off tomorrow, my joy immediately is because in the mail someone forgot to send me a refund and it showed up.
Yes, yes.
Or if I need the Lord to really work things out in my life, and me and my wife haven't been speaking, and all of a sudden both of us have an amicable attitude toward each other, we can speak.
Yeah.
But when all these things are done and we're settled, and now that we're in houses full of goods, as he told them in Deuteronomy, and your job is working out.
Yes.
Because when things start working out, and God starts helping you, you need to know that when God starts blessing you, you become attractive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you become attractive. And you're supposed to be attractive because you're a light.
Yes.
And you're supposed to attract people to God.
Yes.
You're the light of the world. You're supposed to attract people to God. But you become attractive.
Yes.
And you got to make sure that your attraction stays dedicated to God.
Yes.
Because when you start having money, people who are ungodly also become attracted to you.
Yes.
And when your life starts to turn around, people who are not in God start to become attracted to you. And opportunities become attracted to you. And different things come with the intent of, because now you're a draw.
Yeah.
It's like when you're a sports person, and when you go to college and everybody sees how well you play football, everybody wants you.
Yes.
When you become successful in your job, other people want you. When you start to really work things out in life, other things come. But you got to make sure that when they come, they find out that the person they're attracted to belongs to God.
Yes.
Everything about them is in God.
Yeah.
So in Corinthians, back in 2 Corinthians, he says, if it so be, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, eternal life. If so be it that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And this is the part that lets me know that I'm never going to be just a body and a soul.
So, yes.
I'm going to always have a body.
Yes.
So that I'm not naked.
Yes.
It's not going to be just all of us just whisping around and, you know, and everything. And he says in this, For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. I don't want to just not have a body.
Yes.
And if you ever think about it, the reason why the saved people are going to have a body, why do you think disembodied spirits and demons try so hard to use you?
Yeah, that's right, because they don't have a body.
And if you allow them to, and you get to a certain point, they will possess you.
Yeah.
Now, very few people allow evil spirits to get to the point where they actually possess them. You've got to really yield to do that. It's just like having the Holy Ghost. You got to yield to have the Holy Ghost. You have to yield to God for the Holy Ghost to come in.
Yes.
He doesn't just jump on you and attack you and overtake you. I watch some people when they go through what they consider a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and they're doing a lot of things. And I'm not saying what one does when the Spirit comes on them in that regard, but I know that He doesn't cause you to do anything contrary to your will, against your will.
Right.
The Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Prophet, yes.
In other words, you have to allow Him to come in and work His will. But disembodied spirits don't. That's just the whole point. Don't have a body.
Yes. They're disembodied.
And those of us who are in God, there's never a point where we're supposed to not have bodies. This is the problem. This is what the saints of old were concerned about, that up until the time when Christ comes, this body is going to be in the ground or wherever it is, and I'm going to have to go into paradise and wait for him to be resurrected into his body to be glorified, so mine can be glorified.
Right, yes.
And then he says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, that mortality might be swallowed up in life, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Mortality might be swallowed up of life, so that I'm no longer subject to mortality, or no longer subject to, what's the big D word? Death.
Death, yes.
You know, an immortal body doesn't worry about cancer. Cancer has no effect on an immortal body. Or no other disease that we have. No coronavirus, no flu, no cancer, no eczema. All these allergies, all these things that the mortal body is subject to, it became in this depraved condition.
Yes.
And in Philippians, Paul refers to it as a vile body.
Amen. Yes.
Because it is so sickly and so weak. And even if you keep it in the most pristine fashion and you have tons of money like rich people do, and they have doctors that give them drugs that are so expensive that they don't even offer them to us. Matter of fact, they don't even tell us about them.
Yeah.
Don't you wonder how they live so long?
Yeah.
But they can't keep them living forever.
That's right.
And they can't keep the aging process from coming.
Yeah.
If they're 103, they look 103.
Amen.
And they're not 103 doing what they did when they were 13.
13, amen.
But when you're immortal, your strength doesn't fade, and you don't age.
Amen.
And you know, and some of us, even when they talk about being in heaven, I'm not looking to go to heaven and see people walking around aged and crooked over and gray haired and bald headed, and you know, and there's nobody, no canes and no walkers in heaven and no scooters. There's nobody scooting around to the throne, and there's nobody on crutches and nobody on canes, and there's, you know, and there's nobody who's gray, nobody who's bald, no amputees, and nobody with heart with pacemakers and none of those things. Not in heaven, not in them. They're all perfect.
Perfect, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
No false teeth, no dentures, no bridges.
Yes.
You know, no implants.
Yes.
They're perfect.
Perfect, yes. Praise the Lord.
Even when they show dramatizations of heaven, you have old people, young people. Yeah. No, everybody's going to probably be about the same age Jesus was when he went up.
Yeah.
About 33.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, where you get that from? Because why would you be otherwise? In the other thing you're not going to see is you're not going to see any infants.
Yeah.
What would be the point of, it's not that infants don't go to heaven, but they don't remain infants. What would be the point of being an infant throughout eternity?
Yes, that's right.
How do you glorify God? How do you praise God? What would be the point of being 4 or 5 throughout eternity?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when I preach a child's funeral, I preach with every confidence. If you want to see what they look like as a grown person, go to heaven.
Yes.
If you want to see how they turn out, you know, if you have a child who's miscarried or whatever, you want to see what they would have been like as a grown person?
Yes.
Since in their innocence, there's no reason why they should not be in heaven because they have done no sin.
Amen.
And to the best of their conscience, their conscience is clear.
Yeah.
So if you want to see what they look like, then you need to show up in heaven yourself.
Amen.
And you'll find out what a fine young man or a fine young woman they look like.
Amen.
Having escaped all that we've gone through in life.
Yeah,
while the Bible says in one place that we need to weep when children are born and we should rejoice
when
people die.
Yes.
Well, when they're saved anyway.
That's what the Bible says, yes.
Let me finish this because this is after 8 o'clock. For we that are in this tower, read that. Now he that hath brought us for us the self same thing is God. The person who has given us his eternal life is God, who also giveth to us the earnest of the Spirit. I know he's given me eternal life because I have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
the earnest or the down payment or the beginning of the of my salvation, all that God has given me, though, the Holy Spirit who dwells in me, the change of life that he's brought on, all that the Spirit gives, the life he's given, that's the first fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I know that God is going to give me an immortal body because he's given me the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I don't wonder if I'm going to have an immortal body.
Yeah.
If you're wondering if your body is going to be changed from mortal to immortal, or if you die, you're going to have an immortal body, then you must be wondering about whether or not you have the Holy Ghost or not. Because the same one who gave me the Holy Ghost is the same one who's going to change my body.
Yes. Amen.
And he says, therefore, we are always confident. Since I know I have the Holy Ghost, I'm always confident. I'm sure about this, knowing that while I'm at home in this body, I'm absent from the Lord.
Yes.
But I also know, he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words,
yes.
We're trusting in God.
Yes.
I know I have eternal life because I'm trusting in God.
Yes.
But there's going to come a time, as it says in Romans, it says what things we do see we no longer hope for.
Yes.
When you see God, when you see Christ, he's not a blessed hope anymore. He's there.
There. Yes. Amen.
When you change from mortal to immortal, that's not your hope.
Yes.
That's not something hoped for. You got it.
Yes.
He says, we are confident, and I say willing, rather, to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. We are. Paul wrote in one place, he says that henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but all those who love his appearing.
Yes.
All those who want his appearing.
Yes.
All those who love, who are prepared, who want to see the Lord. Don't you know, for all of us who trust in God, it isn't that we don't pray and ask God for houses. We do. We pray and ask God for jobs. We do. We pray and ask God to help us with cars and bills and children. We pray, and if God had his way, we pray and ask him to do even more.
Yeah, yes.
But the bottom line is, if the check doesn't come in the mail, we know it ourselves, but one day I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
If the job falls through, we said, that's all right. Jesus is still coming.
He's coming, yeah.
And if we don't get the healing we want, we know that one day we won't have these sickly, fickle bodies.
Amen, yes.
Buddy, when everybody gets on your nerves, and you're looking around now, folk have just, it's like America has just gone berserk. All of a sudden, it's like Pandora's box has been opened in mythology. And all the evil that the society has worked through the years to try to keep at least calm in the last few years, someone has opened that, and now all the evil is just out there.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
But I know Jesus is coming.
Yes, he is.
And I know something else. The earth is not going to get but so terrible before I go back with him.
Right, amen.
I'm not worried about it transitioning into the tribulation, because before the tribulation comes, I'm going to go up.
Yeah.
I was reading a post the other day from Keisha Tony, LaKeisha Tony, and she had written she wrote a long post, and it was so nice. And I think she was calming somebody, but it was calming to me. There are so many people who sit in churches today who are still thinking to themselves, I got to avoid getting the chip. I don't have to worry about the chip. The chip doesn't come until after the rapture.
Rapture, amen.
And there's so many people sitting in churches today whose pastors are preparing them for the tribulation, and they're thinking to themselves, "I'm gonna have to be ready. I got to make sure I don't get the sign of the beast. I got to make sure I don't elect the beast. I don't elect the Antichrist. I'm not worried about that. When you start doing that, I will already be in heaven.
Amen. Yes.
I'm not worried about the chip. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I'm not worried about the beast. I'm not worried about the enemy. I'm not worried about any of those, because I have hope in eternal life.
Amen.
And before the tribulation comes and all that starts, and before you can't buy a cell, and you can't have credit cards, you can't do this, you can't do this, I am sure that before any of that happens, I will be gone with Christ.
Yes.
You need to make up your mind too.
Yes.
By the time they start You know, unless you plan on being a tribulation saint, there will be saved in tribulation.
Yes.
So, well, who's going to be saved in tribulation? The people who are planning to be here.
Yeah, amen.
The folk who are trying to, put people in the Supreme Court because they're concerned.
Yeah.
I'm not unconcerned.
Yeah.
But my life doesn't depend on it.
Yes.
If you don't put the person who I think would be a better candidate doesn't win, well, I wish they had her, but my life doesn't depend on it.
Yeah, amen.
Before it gets to the point where things are so horrible that we can't live, I'll be out of here.
Amen.
Because I know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. There hath no temptation taken me, but such as is common to man. So you're applying this?
Yes.
But God is faithful and will not suffer me to be tempted or tried or go through more than I'm able to do.
Amen. Yes.
I'm depending on that.
Yes, yes.
I'm not worried about plagues over here and plagues over here. No, we have them in the earth, but they won't get to the point where I just can't make it anymore.
Yes.
Because by the time that happens, I will be gone.
Yeah, amen.
Now, if you plan to be in the tribulation, and you're watching all these people who are telling you, we need to elect this one over here, and we need God's man over here, and you're trying to position yourself so you'll be on the right side during the tribulation, you'll probably be here during the tribulation.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm going to be on the Lord's side.
God, amen.
And it doesn't mean I don't vote. Doesn't mean I'm not concerned about issues or whatever. But I'm not worried about them. They're not there for you because when all is said and done, when it gets beyond the point of what I can do, God moves.
Amen. Yes.
God steps in.
God steps in more than what. Yes.
And you say, well, you know, but I can do all the things. Then why do you pray? You can't heal you, so you ask God to do it.
Amen.
You can't deliver you, so you ask God if you're smart to do it.
Yes.
You can't deliver your family, so you ask God to do it. You can't work out what's going on way over here, so you ask God to do it.
Yeah, amen.
Anytime things get beyond the point where if you're not too stupid, you ask God.
Yes.
You come to God. After a while, you stop even trying. And you start saying, I'm going to give it over to God.
Amen.
I'm going to surrender it to God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the best I can do, and from then on, I'm going to trust God.
Amen. Yes.
I'm finished this.
Praise the Lord.
Therefore, we are always confident because we have the Holy Spirit. That while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In other words, he's making this point that sooner or later, everybody's going to end up before Christ.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that one person has to present himself good and bad. No, if you're a good person, you end up in the rapture, you're going to end up before Christ.
Yeah,
if you're a bad person, you've done bad things, didn't have God, and one day every knee's going to bow, and you're still going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter, last verse.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. I believe in prosperity, but prosperity gives me confidence in God.
Yes.
He says in his 3:20, but our conversation or our lifestyle or our citizenship in this particular case.
Yes.
Our citizenship. I belong to heaven. This goes with the 11th chapter of Hebrews when it says they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth.
Yes.
When he talks about it, he says they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And they confessed it and they knew that they belong to God. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
I really belong. I belong to God.
Yes. Amen.
So when the earth becomes so bad, you know how it is in the world today? If a country becomes so bad, we bring our ambassadors home.
Yes.
We pull them out.
Right. Yeah.
If we have, even if we're stationed somewhere and we're accompanied by our wives and kids, when it gets so bad, they send, you know, things are getting bad, they send all the dependents home.
Oh, yes, yes.
They still do. They're down there and let them go. They pull us out. And when things look like it's going to get really bad,
yeah,
going to change from a Cold War to a shooting war,
yes.
Jesus is going to come and pull us out of it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because my citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
I defected when the Lord saved me.
Yes. Amen.
I was looking for spiritual asylum.
Yes.
And I found it in God.
God. Amen.
I was in peril. Yes. And it was a difficult time. And the person who had me in peril was the devil. And he was holding me with sin.
Yes.
But Jesus set me free.
Amen.
And when I came to God, he accepted me. And I had a change of citizenship so that I'm no longer a citizen of earth, but a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
That's the reality of it. That's what Paul knew.
Yes.
Our conversation, our citizenship is from heaven. We're not trying to go someplace and you know, everybody got this thing about the border. This country didn't have a hard time when they allowed people to just come. It just looks bad because you had somebody who stopped, who plugged the drain, did whatever he did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Sean just says it all the time. If you're not a Native American, everybody in the United States, if you're not a Native American, is an immigrant.
An immigrant, that's right.
And being a black immigrant, I'm going to tell you right now, we showed up a long time before a whole lot of other folks.
That's right. Amen. Yes, we did.
I was here with a whole lot of, my forefathers were here when a whole lot of other people showed up.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You know,
1600s.
Not that it matters.
Yes.
As long as I show up in heaven.
Yes.
Now I know why the old people used to sing, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout, there'll be nobody to put me out.
Yeah.
One time I said to myself, once in my youth in God, I said, I'm never going to sing that. It doesn't make sense. And one day I was riding down the street, and I don't remember what was going on, but I really started thinking about it. You know what? And that's when I started to realize, you're not as secure on earth as you think you are.
That's right. Yep.
People can end your liberty anytime they want.
Anytime they want.
They can stop you and haul you off to jail.
Yeah.
Shoot you on the spot.
Yes.
Do whatever they want to. Take your house, take your land, declare it, you know, eminent domain, do whatever. There's so much the world can do if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
If you think the world is evil, it would really be evil if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
God only lets it become so evil because he has to protect the people who are citizens of heaven.
Amen.
He has to guard and take care of the citizens from heaven. You should be so grateful to God. Every time we have testimony service, you should start and say, I thank God I'm a citizen from
heaven. Amen.
I thank God that he's given his angels charge over me.
Yes.
I thank God for the Holy Ghost who dwells in me and who keeps me on track.
Yes.
I thank God that I have a tether. I'm tied to God by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he keeps me on a string. And when I walk out too far, he snatches me back. And he gets my attention. I'm so glad that God is my Father. I'm so glad I got somebody who watches over me. You should stand up and sing. Like the song says, I've been saved all day and I'm glad. It's not because I kept myself, but it's because of God.
Amen.
And he says, from whence we also look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That heaven. Everybody say that heaven.
That heaven.
Yeah, that heaven. Not heaven on earth. There is no such thing as heaven on earth.
That's right. Amen.
It's the heaven where Jesus is.
Where Jesus is. Amen.
Who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Since he has all power, upholds all things by the word of his power, he's going to change this vile body.
Yes.
Fashion it like unto his glorious immortal body.
Yes.
With the same power that he uses to do everything else, which is the Holy Spirit's power. He's going to change me in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. That's why I'm saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I thank God for the nice house. Paul and I live well. And not by any, it's not because I was some great person who mapped out my life and I went to college like I was supposed to and worked like I was supposed to. No, I've had more flops and failures than most people I know. And by the grace of God, I still live well.
Yes.
The Lord just opened up a window, just dropped money into our hands. We didn't have money for a house. God just made a way.
Yes, amen.
And all of a sudden, it looked like we had wealth. And then God had to kind of draw back because we were getting carried away by the little wealth he was giving us.
Yeah.
We were living saved, but, you know, we went out here and made a few bad investments. Just thinking, all of a sudden, we become super wealth managers.
Yes.
You know, and the Lord had just made a way for us because of his goodness and his
mercy. Yes.
And his mercy.
Yeah.
And then he had to reel us back in.
Yes.
And let us know that who had the power.
Power, amen.
From time to time, God has to let you know who has the power.
Yes.
And it's not because God is punishing you.
Yes.
It's because he's warning you
yes.
not to lose your eternal life.
Yes.
He's bringing your attention back to who has eternal life. My house doesn't even come on the radar with eternal life.
Amen.
My whatever wealth I have, which is not much, it's not even a drop in Oprah Winfrey's bucket. It doesn't matter, but her wealth has no comparison to eternal life. Matter of fact, the combined wealth of everything in the earth has no comparison to one person's eternal life. And the earth itself belongs to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's why he says, I'll sit up one and take it down another.
Yes, amen.
But our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, make them like unto his glorious body.
Yes.
With the same power that he uses to uphold all things. He upholds all things. Everybody standing. Upholding all things by the word of his power. We know he can change our body because that power heals us.
Yes, amen.
We know he can change our body because that power delivers us.
Amen. Yes.
We know he can change our bodies because that power saved us.
Yeah, amen.
We know he can change our bodies because that power dwells in us in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We know he can change our bodies because he's given us miracles. And we think ourselves so smart. You know, God, if it weren't for God, you know, the song says, Count your blessings, name them one by one. Sometimes God needs to remind you of all your flops and failures.
Yeah, amen.
Any one of them could have destroyed
you
if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
So I didn't fail that many times. You only need to do it once.
Yes. Amen.
If it wasn't for God.
Amen.
So many opportunities the devil could have destroyed every one of us if it was not for God.
Amen.
And he kept saying, well, I'll just dig around and hedge it. And try them just one more time.
Amen.
And see if they won't work out.
Because
I really want to give them everlasting life. And then you flop again. And he says, well, I'm going to try them one more time. Because they really need everlasting life. And then you flop again. And then he says, well, I'm going to try them one more time.
Yes.
So 70 times 70.
Yes.
That you may have everlasting life. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. You can say that about yourself. It's not just a song to me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Today's come down, let me pray for you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your healing power, your keeping power. Lord, I thank you for how you brought us and how you kept us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, how you led us and how you guided us. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you're a healer. Lord, you're a healer.
Yes.
Lord, touch him in Jesus' name.
Yes.
For him, in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke these allergies, and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I rebuke the unclean spirit that brings
you. Yes.
Loose him in the name of Jesus. Lord, make him whole. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Bless him and anoint him in the name of Jesus. Good night, Ellery. Let me pray for you. You always talk about my allergies. Say to the Lord, rebuke. Foul unclean spirit, loose her in the name of Jesus. Depart and not come back. The evil spirit that causes itchy eyes, sinuses, and all those things, go out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we put up with it too easily. Lord, move in Jesus' name. Lord, and David said, it's time for you to act. Lord, you're the Lord God that healeth. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch Minister Smith in Jesus' name. So that she doesn't have that pain. In the name of Jesus, touch Elder Smith. Elder Rogers. All those who need a miracle. Lord, move in Jesus' name. Lord, remember, Lord, Sister Nancy, oh God. All those who need a miracle in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch us in these vile bodies. Lord, give us a foretaste of the glory to come in Jesus' name. Lord, heal us. because we know you're a good God. Lord, heal us because we know you're going to change us from one to more. Oh, God, move among us. In Jesus' name. Remember Alicia today. Remember India and all of us who have these conditions. Oh, God. God, move by your miracle working power. Even the Holy Ghost who dwells in us. Heal us. In Jesus' name. Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor, all the praise. Lord, bless the people of God. Lord, give us confidence and faith in the resurrection of God. Faith that we're going to be changed from moment to moment, God. Lord, we are sure our hope is in God. Lord, we know when we leave this body, we go into a body that's made, not made with hands, but a body made by God. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen. Give the Lord a hand to them. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I'm going to be in...